join me in welcoming all the original members of the Mouse Soul.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Good afternoon, and indeed this is Guy James coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida, the Naples-Fort Myers area. So glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. We're looking forward to having a great show for you today, talking over some very important subjects. And hopefully there'll be something that'll be important to you involved in there. Lots of people, especially up north, talking to some folks from up north the other day, getting their yards ready. Spring has sprung, and they're out raking the yards and getting all the sticks out of the yards and all that, getting ready to mow grass up north. Of course, here where we live, we mow grass year-round. Spring has sprung up north, and a lot of people are grateful for it. It is a gorgeous day here in Southwest Florida, and hope it is where you are as well. Went out and filled up the old car this morning. My, don't you hate to do that right now? Hey, let me know, what's gas prices at, in your area right now? I paid $2.85 today, and they say it's going a little higher than that, so we'll see. Notice how they take two steps up and one back all the time? We're talking about $3 almost for a gallon of gas now, and it won't be long before we'll be happy for that. Because they'll take it up to $4 and then they'll drop it back to $3.50, and then they'll take it up to $5 and drop it back to $4, and then we'll be happy again. Oh, yes. Did you ever think you'd see the day when you'd be happy, like right now, to be paying, say, $2.50 for a gallon of gas? $2? Unthinkable. It'll never go under $2 again, will it? No, those days are over. Going to gouge it out of us one way or another. The wealth is being transferred at a rapid pace. And that brings up just one little thing before I get started today. As I was filling my tank this morning, I was out and about, and I was filling my tank. I put the old nozzle in the filling tank there, and I couldn't help it. When I started squeezing that trigger on that gas nozzle, the only thing I could think about was that SOB from Exxon getting a $400 million retirement package. Here we are, all scrimping and saving and scratching to try and pay our gasoline bill. And the guy gets a $400 million retirement package. Let me ask you, is anybody worth a $400 million retirement package? Does anybody need a $400 million retirement package? And isn't that a poking a stick right in the eye of the American public, especially right now, when so many families are having a hard time deciding, you know, they've got to buy gas in order to get to work? tough paying for groceries. People are dropping down. You know, they're eating the cheap macaroni and cheese now instead of the better stuff. Eating a lot of bean soup. And you fill up your gas tank and it's $50, and you see that a guy gets $400 million as a retirement package. My. That's, let me see here. Securities and Exchange Commission. That's equivalent to $141,000 a day, $6,000 an hour. It's five times what the CEO of Chevron made. That's his $51 million paycheck in 2005, $6,000 an hour. Not bad money if you can get it, huh? Well, anyway, I'll get off of that subject, but no. Give us a call, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. We'd love to hear from you. Oh, it was a wild weekend. Did you have a good weekend? Did you have a good Easter weekend? Did you all you Christians, did you go to church? Did you celebrate Easter in that way? Did you have family in? I know a lot of you had family in. Always great to spend time with family. The older you get, the more important that is. You know how it is when you're a kid and you say, oh, we're going to go to Aunt Lucy's place for Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter. Oh, no, do I have to go over there? But, you know, when you start getting older and you start realizing that every family gathering after a while may be the last time you see one or two of those folks, or maybe even be the last time that you're there. So that becomes a little more important as time goes on. You'll see, those of you who are younger, you'll see. But I do hope you had a great Easter. Around here the grocery stores were closed. Some of them anyway. The big public supermarket chain was closed on Easter. I was surprised to see that. Normally the big corporations don't even slow down a beat for religious holidays anymore. Chocolate bunnies and Easter eggs and all that sort of thing. I think the kids probably all got their fill of that. You know, we like to deal with reality here on the Guy James Show. We really do. We talk about reality quite a bit, what people's different definition or perception of reality is anyway. And I saw a guy make a statement over the weekend that I just looked and my jaw dropped. My jaw actually dropped. It's hard to shock me anymore and things that happen in public life. But I saw a statement made on TV over the weekend that I was just incredulous that anybody could say such a thing and have the respect of the people in his state, in his constituency. Mitch McConnell from Kentucky. You all know who Mitch McConnell from Kentucky is, Senator Mitch McConnell. You realize how absolutely out of touch some of these hard-nosed partisan Republican lawmakers are. Now, there's partisans on both sides of the aisle. I know that. But I watched in absolute amazement this weekend when I saw Republican Mitch McConnell from Kentucky saying that Donald Rumsfeld is the, quote, greatest Secretary of Defense in our history and that he has done a spectacular job. Oh, my God. Now, in order to say that, A, you could not have been in this country and you had no knowledge of what's going on in Iraq. Or B, you're some sort of a moron. Or C, you're a partisan hack and you don't give a damn about the people of your state and the people of the United States. You're going to back an ass like Donald Rumsfeld no matter what. You're that much of a partisan that you can take a look at a man like Donald Rumsfeld and say he's the greatest Secretary of Defense in the history of the country and that he's done a spectacular job? Honestly, I didn't think anybody could make a statement like that. Nobody. I mean, even Bush. You know, they might say, well, you know, he's doing a good job. He's got my confidence, which is, you know, what he said. I would remind him that Brownie had his confidence as well. But the greatest Secretary of Defense in our history, and he's done a spectacular job. I don't disagree with the spectacular part. Really, I don't. I'm amazed with that a guy like Rumsfeld, whom this administration would have you believe is some sort of tactical genius, has been able to utterly and completely screw up the misadventure into Iraq. It was spectacularly bad, is what it was. It wasn't bad enough that fools like Bush, Cheney, Rice, Wolfowitz, and others were stupid enough to call for this war. Oh, no. That wasn't bad enough. We had to make it a whole lot worse and put this absolutely clownish, arrogant, inept bastard Rumsfeld in charge so he could overrule the military minds who normally take care of such an adventure and do it his way. Yes, his way. Oh, it's been spectacular, all right. A spectacular failure from top to bottom. You know, militarily, this has been a fiasco. Insufficient number of troops to do the job, therefore sacrificing the safety of all of our soldiers. Inadequate armor for our soldiers and their machines. And then there's that little problem having wasted billions upon billions of the taxpayers' money paying Bechtel and Kellogg, Brown and Root and Halliburton, you know, to provide food and water and other essentials to our troops, and then we find out they charged outrageous prices and were serving rancid food and contaminated water, and oh, by the way, in one instance, charged the government about $500 per gallon to transport gasoline into Iraq. And that's to say nothing of the $2 billion in cash. $2 billion in cash that is missing. Money that was supposed to be used to pay bribes to Iraqis and take care of officials there and pay their security personnel and protection money for American officials. $2 billion in cold, hard cash, and it's totally unaccounted for. Spectacular. Now we find out that Rummy overruled the top brass in the Pentagon and did it his way. His way. And we're left with the worst military mess since Vietnam, and Mitch McConnell from Kentucky says Rumsfeld is the best Secretary of Defense ever and has done a spectacular job, and the people of Kentucky elected this guy? I cannot believe anyone would have the nerve to stand before the American public at this moment in time and say that Donald Rumsfeld has done a spectacular job. I'm not picking this time to pick on the man because I've been picking on him since he was put into office. He's a bozo, an arrogant bozo. He does not have the interest of the people of the United States in mind. If he did, he would quit. He'd walk out of that office right now if he had the welfare of the American public and the soldiers under his command. If he had them in mind, he would walk out right now. And my so-called conservative friends, do you want to join Senator McConnell in his assessment of Donald Rumsfeld's job? Or do you want to try paying a little visit to reality and see Rumsfeld's job performance as it really is? And so it goes. Another ridiculous statement by an obviously out of his mind Republican trying to put lipstick on the pig Donald Rumsfeld. Mitch, old boy, you can put all the lipstick on that pig you want, but it still smells like a pig and it looks one like one too. And my apologies to the pig for that one. And doesn't this make a huge statement about Junior Bush? Can anything be as telling about G.W. Bush Jr. than having him give his support and confidence to Donald Rumsfeld for the biggest military failure since Vietnam? Oh, man. I get so damn mad when I see something like that. and there are people sucking it up. If Donald Rumsfeld ran any company in the world like he has run the Defense Department, he'd have been out on his ass a long time ago. But no, he's got the full confidence of the Bush administration. Yahoo. And then you get General Myers. He offers a weak defense of Rumsfeld. You know, there's seven generals now have come out and added their names to the list of those calling for Rumsfeld resignation. They've all argued that Rumsfeld rejected the military's advice, sent too few troops into Iraq. You remember General Eric Shinseki, before the war, he said the mission was going to require several hundred thousand soldiers, and they laughed him out of the room. Guess what? We needed several hundred thousand soldiers to do the job right, but Rummy said no. He knew better now, didn't he? Man, oh man. Heck of a job, Rummy. Heck of a job. When's the last time we heard President Bush say you're doing a heck of a job? You know, it was when he heaped the praise on former FEMA head Michael Brown, who resigned just a few weeks later in a wake of enormous public outcry over the incompetency and FEMA's response to Hurricane Katrina. But in the latest example of the Bush administration's appetite for incompetence, and they've got obviously a huge appetite for incompetence, despite twice offering his resignation, and despite the news of six former generals, now seven, calling for him to step down, President Bush believes that Defense Secretary Rumsfeld is doing a fine job and a heck of a good job. That's right. Rumsfeld has twice offered his resignation to Bush. Twice offered President Bush his resignation during the height of the Abu Ghraib prison scandal, but the president refused to accept it. And then in an interview Thursday on CNN's Larry King Live, Rumsfeld said, I submitted my resignation to President Bush twice during that period and told him that I felt that he ought to make a decision as to whether or not I stayed on. And he made that decision and said he did want me to stay on. And Bush continues to this day to heap praise on Rumsfeld. Doing a fine job. Bush has got full confidence in Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. Full confidence. What does it take? What does it take in a way of job performance to fall out of favor with G.W. Bush Jr.? What do you have to do? How bad does it have to get before he would go before the American public and say, "Geez, you know, man, this is bad. This is really bad." Now, we all thought Robert McNamara was a bad Secretary of Defense. I did anyway. I don't know about you, but I certainly did. He even admitted tons of mistakes years later, Robert McNamara. By the way, a Democrat, lest you say I'm being partisan on this matter, I am not. Rumsfeld needs to go. He absolutely needs to go. He should go. He should be gone right now. But you know what? The reason he's there, he didn't appoint himself to the job. He's there because of Cheney, and Cheney's there because Bush let him be there. So where does the buck stop? It stops at the Oval Office. And I'm not that happy with these seven generals coming forth now and telling us this story. Oh, yes, I'm glad they are. But I didn't hear anybody protesting real loud when we were thinking of going into Iraq. I didn't hear them jumping up and down then. Did you? No. We heard Shinseki say something about it. We heard a couple of retired generals at that time say something about it. But basically, it was all quiet. Even these generals, Zinni and the rest of them, with John Riggs and Major General Charles Swanick Jr., who else? Major General John Batiste, Major General Paul Eaton. Marine Lieutenant General Gregory Newbold and Zinni. Where were they? Where were they 3 years ago? When they really should have been jumping up and down and gone to the public then. I know, the military's not supposed to do that sort of thing. But they did it now. If they're the kind of men that could come out and admit things were wrong, and they have now, what kept them from doing it then? Not a bit happy with them. Not a bit. You just take a look around the country. Around the entire country. This is no anomaly here. The Houston Chronicle. Their editorial page. Bush must dismiss Rumsfeld and change his misguided Iraq policy. Big story in his home state, Houston Chronicle newspaper. The St. Petersburg Times, Florida. Bush PR effort on Iraq is wearing thin. The Beaver County Times and Allegheny Times in good old Pittsburgh. Administration engaged in arrogance and bungling. The Berkshire Eagle in Massachusetts. States Rumsfeld has treated military leaders' opinions with disrespect. From the president to his vice president to his secretary of defense, the civilian leaders predicted a stroll through Iraq and a triumphant quick return. Their analysis was wrong. And instead of facing the consequences, the same people remain in power or have been awarded medals. The general's message is that Mr. Rumsfeld has treated military leaders' opinions with disrespect and has ruled through intimidation. And they go on to talk about General Shinseki being forced out and criticizing for giving Congress a realistic statement of the Iraq situation before it ever started. The treatment of General Shinseki should be remembered every time President Bush said he listens to his generals on the ground. You heard him say that. I listen to my generals on the ground. You know, the Sarasota, Florida Herald Tribune, Bush can expect more problems by sticking with Rumsfeld. The Macon Telegraph, Georgia newspaper. Rumsfeld would do his country a great service by stepping aside. Folks, these are newspaper in decidedly red states. Some of the most partisan people in the country, Republicans, are calling for Rumsfeld to get the hell out. But I do think, in all fairness to Donald Rumsfeld, he shouldn't go first. The man or men who put him where he is should go first. They are ultimately responsible. And from what I hear, it is most definitely Dick Cheney that decided that he would be Secretary of Defense. Their association goes back a long, long way, back to the Nixon administration, as you all know. And then Bush for allowing it. Remember how this administration was going to be the one that was going to be so ethical and forthright and honest with the American people? Remember them stating that over and over and over again? Oh, I'm sure the story's not going to go away. I have long since passed the point where I would look at this particular story this time and say, well, this is it. They'll get rid of it. I don't think so anymore. They've thrown enough crap at the wall and none of it is stuck that you know, this is another story here where it may just well go away in a couple of days. And we'll have the entire 90% of the American people think that we got a Secretary of Defense is wholly inadequate for his job. But Bush doesn't give a damn. No, he doesn't give a damn. Why should he? 866-546-5254. I would like you to call and give me your opinion on this today. I'd like to hear it. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
GW never claimed to be very smart. And though there's no doubt I'd have to agree, still he's the president, not me. He said families is where our nation finds hope. How many hands have I shaped? Put food on your family, make the pie higher, even if the pie's half-baked. Bless his heart. GW never claimed to be too smart. And though there's no doubt I'd have to agree, still he's the president, not me. He said, our priorities is our faith, the bridge between church and state. They misunderestimated me. This issue doesn't seem to resonate. Bless his brain. You'll never hear George saying, I feel your pain. And though you know it couldn't be more true, still he's the president, not you. We're giving him a hard time for being such a plutocrat. He may not have won the vote, but he paid good money to get where he's at. Bless our air and water, all consumers better beware. You'll never see the shrub hug a tree.
In Iraq, my administration looked at the intelligence, and we saw a threat. Members of Congress looked at the intelligence, and they saw a threat. The United Nations Security Council looked at the intelligence, and it saw a threat.
Very funny!
Tell us what you think. Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
And we're back. Hey, I'd like to thank Ron from Seattle for sending me a letter that was published in the Seattle Times newspaper. And I want to read it to you. It's a little bit lengthy. But as you know, we read a letter to you a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a week ago. I'm not sure. Time is passing quickly. But we read you a letter from a gentleman who is a sergeant in the infantry in Iraq right now. And here's a letter from another military man. And again, this is Ron sent this to us from Seattle out of the Seattle Times. And I'll just read the letter. 3 years ago, I was a Marine Corps captain on the Iraqi-Kuwaiti border participating in the invasion of Iraq. Awestruck, I heard our howitzers thunder and watched artillery rockets rise into the night sky and streak toward Iraq, their lightning bathing the desert moonscape like giant arc welders. As I watched the Iraq war begin, I completely trusted the Bush administration. I thought we were going to prove all the left-wing anti-war protesters and dissenters wrong. I thought we were going to make America safer. Regrettably, I acknowledge that it was I who was wrong. I believed the Bush administration when it said Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. I believed its assertion that Iraq was trying to buy yellowcake uranium from Africa and refine it into weapons-grade uranium for a nuclear bomb. I believed its claim Iraq had vast quantities of biological and chemical agents. After years of thorough inspections, all of these claims have been disproved. I believe the administration when it claimed there was an overwhelming evidence Iraq was in cahoots with Al-Qaeda. In January 2004, then-Secretary of State Colin Powell admitted that there was no concrete evidence linking Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda. I believe the administration when it grandly proclaimed that we were going to bring a stable, Western-style, liberal democracy to Iraq, complete with religious tolerance and the rule of law. We never had enough troops in Iraq to restore civil order and the rule of law. The Iraq elections have produced a ruling majority of Shiite fundamentalists and marginalized the seething Sunni minority. Iraq dangerously teeters on the brink of civil war. We have emboldened Iran and destabilized the entire Middle East. I believe the administration when it claimed the war could be done quickly and cheaply. It said the war would cost only between $50 and $60 billion. It said that Iraqi oil revenue would fund the country's reconstruction. I believed President Bush when he landed on the USS Lincoln and said, quote, major combat operations have ended. The war has cost American taxpayers $250 billion and counting. The vast majority, 94% of the more than 2,300 United States service members killed in Iraq have occurred since Bush's Top Gun proclamation. The cost in men and material has been far beyond what we were led to believe. I volunteered to go back to Iraq for the fall and winter of 2004 and 5. I went back out of frustration and guilt. Frustration from watching Iraq unravel on the news and guilt that I wasn't there trying to stop it. Many fine Marines from my reserve battalion felt the same and volunteered to go back. I buried my mounting suspicions and mustered enough trust and faith in my civilian leadership to go back. I returned disillusioned by what I saw. I participated in the Second Battle of Fallujah in November 2004. We crushed the insurgents in the city, but we only end up scattering them throughout the province. The dumb ones stayed and died. The smart ones left town before the battle to garner more recruits and fight another day. We were simply the little Dutch boy with our finger in the dike. In retrospect, we never had enough troops to firmly control the region. We had just enough to maintain a tenuous equilibrium. I now know I wrongfully placed my faith and trust in a presidential administration hopelessly mired in incompetence, hubris, and a lack of accountability. It planned a war based on false intelligence and unrealistic assumptions. It has strategically surrendered the condition of victory in Iraq to people who do not share our vision, values, or interest. The Bush administration has proven successful at only one thing in Iraq, painting us into a corner with no feasible exit. I will never trust any of them again. Christopher H. Shepard, a former Marine captain who served two tours of duty in Iraq as a combat engineer. We're hearing more and more and more of this all the time. And yet there are people. I was in the car this morning, out and about, turned on the car radio because right-wing talk is all you can get where we live. If you want to listen to talk radio, that's it. radical, right-wing, blathering talk. And as Laura Ingraham was on, she may be the worst of the bunch. Her condescending attitude toward anyone who speaks ill of anything in Iraq or anybody in this administration. How can one person be so blind? And if it's only an act by her or the Limbaughs or the Hannitys, if it's only an act, which I suspect with some of them, that's all it is, a way to make a lot of money. I suspect some of them are smart enough that they could not possibly believe what they say they believe, but rather just say it because it's what they know the sheeple want to hear day in and day out. But she was talking in such a condescending manner today toward anybody, especially the generals who are speaking out about Rumsfeld right now. Because she, Laura Ingraham, and all the right-wing talkers, who, by the way, are now in the vast majority in the United States with their opinions on this war and this administration, they are in the vast majority. The vast right-wing conspiracy is in the vast minority. But still, Clear Channel, the big radio companies, they're so proud to put those shows on the air. They're so proud to shove propaganda down the throats of the American citizens every single day for a buck. How can you manage a radio station and have a Laura Ingraham on, for example, who was saying what she did this morning about these generals, making fun of them? They didn't know what they were talking about. We should not believe them. We should only believe the generals who are there now sucking up to Rumsfeld. Right, Laura? We should only believe the ones who are there now, the ones who are left who are worrying about their pensions and their retirement now. Right, Laura? These seven men who served honorably for many, many years in the United States Armed Forces, rose to the rank of general. They have no credibility. We should not believe anything they say. Just because they happen to say something that doesn't jibe with what the administration says. We should instead listen to the tactical genius of a man like Donald Rumsfeld. Donald Rumsfeld militarily shouldn't have been trusted to how can it be? How can it be that anybody looks at the situation we're in right now? Forget whether or not you were for this war or against it. Forget whether you're for it or against it now. How could anybody look at the situation we're in right now and say it's been done well and it was a spectacular job? How could anybody say that? It is an absurdity. It's an obscenity that anybody could talk like that. For money. To hell with all those people that talk like that for money. They have no credibility. They have no self-respect. They salute the green dollar, not the American flag. That's all they have any use for is the dollar. Which, by the way, is getting to be worth less and less every single day. Don't you kid yourself for one minute. There is not one of those people, your Hannitys, your Limbaughs, your Laura Ingraham, that wouldn't switch sides overnight if the money was right. Don't kid yourself. Well, Limbaugh probably wouldn't have to. He's got enough money to last him several lifetimes by now. Sour grapes? No. Not at all. I don't do this money for money. I have never done this for money. I talk to you every day on this program from my heart. and from what I believe to the depths of my soul. And I think everybody that I've corresponded with and listens to this program every day knows that. I don't understand. I do not understand. I was a psych major. And you would think I'd be able to somehow get inside the heads of these people, some of these people. But I can't do it. I cannot do it. Obviously, some of you can't either. We're perplexed. Millions of us. You know, I read a piece by Star Decease of the Enigmatic Paradox on Sunday. Star's a great writer and has some interesting things to say about good old Donnie Rumsfeld. I'll just say a few of them. This all came from Star Decease. Rummy has become the model of modern major failure. He came into office confidently promising to reshape the American fighting machine for the 21st century, but lost the bureaucratic battle and was damned to repeat the past. He vowed to shock and awe the world with American power, but succeeded only in demonstrating the limits of American might. Of course, Rumsfeld isn't the only Bush gang member taking heat right now. The New York Times said yesterday, this president has never shown the slightest interest in disclosure except when it suits his political purposes. He has run one of the most secretive administrations in American history, consistently withholding information and vital documents, and not just from the public, but also from Congress. This fits the pattern of Mr. Bush's original sales pitch on the Iraq War, hyping the intelligence that bolstered his case and suppressing the intelligence that undercut it. How is it possible that the Congress of the United States of America has allowed this man to stay in office, knowing what we all know now? How is that possible? And speaking of Iraq, there's a report out of Baghdad that the morgue there just can't keep up with demand. Iraqi and a humanitarian group affiliated with the political party of interim president Yawar reported last year that there have been 128,000 violent deaths since the invasion. 128,000. The group said it only counted deaths confirmed by relatives and that it had omitted the large number of people who simply disappeared without a trace. Another group, the People's Kifah, involved hundreds of academics and volunteers in a survey conducted in coordination with gravediggers across Iraq. The group said it also obtained information from hospitals and spoke to thousands of witnesses who saw incidents in which Iraqi civilians were killed by U.S. fire. How can it be that what once was a clear-thinking, wise nation has descended to the depths of depravity as evidenced by our actions in Iraq? How can it be that we've allowed Bush and his friends to do this in our names? All because he started the big lie that Iraq was responsible for 9/11? Bush, Cheney, and their friends whip this nation into some sort of a vengeful frenzy and use fear and irrational thinking to send us into a conflict that has become a miserable failure. Can anyone please tell how Bush's actions have made us even a little bit safer? The way I see it, those who were hell-bent upon harming this nation still feel that way. The only difference is there are now a thousand times more of them than there were before this ill-advised venture into Iraq. It almost makes me want to stop watching the news. Do you ever sit down and close your eyes and think this has all been a bad dream? You ever sit down and think, how can this be happening to my country? In this day and age? In this day and age when there's more information, the information age, there's information on everything you want to know about the war in Iraq. It's out there for everybody to see, and people ignore it and go about their daily duties like, what the hell? It doesn't affect me. I haven't lost a kid in Iraq. I'm not, neither has my brother or my sister. Nobody in our family has died in Iraq. $2,360 or whatever it is not that many as wars go. So you people who get all upset about over this, you're getting upset for nothing. It's not that many. I had a great conversation over the weekend with a man from Zurich, Switzerland. Heck of a guy. And also had a conversation with a gentleman from Hungary. And I'll talk about that a little later. But Zurich, being the progressive place that it is, very modern society in Zurich, Switzerland, very affluent society, their standard of living there is quite good. The gentleman I spoke to is in the education field, makes good money. Teachers in Zurich are paid what teachers ought to be paid here in this country. He was shocked when I told him how much teachers in Florida make. He would not believe me. I'm not sure he believes me even today. But I digress. We were talking about making a living in Zurich. And so the subject got around to George Bush. And I asked him a question about George Bush. What do the people of Zurich, what is the general feeling in Zurich of the people? What's their feeling about Junior Bush? And he looked at me. And he didn't want to say anything. He just stood there and looked at me. He later explained he's a visitor in this country and he didn't want to offend me. And so he was being a gentleman, and he just kept quiet. Well, I don't know. No, I said, really, I want to know, what do your countrymen think of Junior Bush? And he said, you really want to know? I said, I most certainly do. I think I do know already. But I want you to tell me. And so in a very straightforward fashion, this fine, educated gentleman from Zurich, Switzerland, told me that he and the countrymen, the educated people that he knows in his country, think George Bush is a menace to the world. A menace. The biggest threat to peace in the world, according to the people that he knows in Zurich, Switzerland, is not Al-Qaeda, is not bin Laden, is not anybody in North Korea, Kim Jong-il. The biggest menace, the biggest threat to freedom in this world, to peace in this world, is George W. Bush. And I said, you can't mean that. You can't mean that he's more dangerous than Al-Qaeda. You can't mean he's more dangerous than Kim Jong-il. You can't mean... I said, yes. Yes, I do mean it. Because you see, those other men you're talking about, although they are evil men, very evil men, they don't have the wherewithal to back up their military power and their evil deeds like does George Bush. You see, being the president of the United States, if he has any military desires, he can do it. Because you have the money in the U.S., you have the equipment, you have the men, and obviously you have the will to make war on anybody you want to. I said, whoa, just wait just a minute. You don't think that I feel that way. You don't think that me and the guy here next to me and the people walking down the aisle, that you don't think they all feel that way. And he said, you must. The majority of the people must feel that way. I said, oh, please don't think that about our country. Please. Please don't think that about my country. It's not true. But you reelected him. What do you say to that? What can you say? When the facts are there for the world to see. But yes, maybe the election did go wrong. And maybe he really didn't win the presidency, but we know damn well he got enough votes to make it close. We know damn well about half the people in this country put him back in office. And so this man's feelings were founded, well-founded. I look at the face of this man who had told me this in a very gentlemanly way. And I am ashamed. I am ashamed that my country could look like that on the world stage to decent people. I'm ashamed. And I will continue to be ashamed until somehow, by the grace of God, we can turn this around and get our respectability on the world stage back again. Until we sweep everybody from office that has done this to my country and to your country. They don't deserve to hold office. They don't deserve to have the ability to do anything, anything in the name of the American people. They have disgraced us. They have humiliated our country. And if I sound overly passionate about it, it's because I am. I have another story to tell later on in the program. Let's go to the phone. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
And it's Dave from Humboldt.
Hi, Dave.
You were talking to a very intelligent fellow over the weekend, one that I would agree with completely. I had spent most of my working career as a psychologist, and I often try, like you do, to get a picture on what is the makeup of these neocon goons. And I'm going to try it with you a little bit, if I might. I think we're seeing extreme character disorders. They are exploited people beyond comprehension. They band together against their own nature, but for the practical advantages that they could have collectively. I think Karl Rove was largely steering the ship there. Their plan was to maximize for themselves everything that they could. Greed, unthinkable greed. Their plan was for a new world order. Global domination. They have the psychology of the shoplifter, and that is to say that there's early unmet needs. I can well believe that's true of Bush, and I think if we get to know more of the families of the others, there would be early affectional deprivation and such. It leaves a felt void. The shoplifter is attempting to fill that void with material things, reaching out and grabbing. They're doing this on such a grandiose scale. There is an unmet need, and they're going to try to fill it by grabbing the wealth of the world.
Makes sense to me.
I've thrown enough out there probably to...
Makes sense to me.
Huh?
It makes sense to me.
Yeah.
They are not people who I don't know. I accused them a long time ago of being smash and grab type thieves. They know they have a limited time in office, and they will go and grab as much as they possibly can.
I think there's another thing that I would throw into the mix. There is an unresolved, generalized anger. There is a desire to do harm, a desire to hurt. Torturing would be their thing. Again, they'll never meet the need that they're trying to meet by these sublimated efforts, but that's what they're doing, I believe. They are reaching out to fill a void and a generalized anger, a desire to do harm, to get even with a world that didn't do them right.
Well, it's disturbing. And when you start, I live in an area that has, I live in an area that has many, many, many visitors from all over the world. And we're fortunate to have the world travelers come here. This is a destination area for those people. And it is fascinating to talk to them. And I, at every opportunity, I like to talk to them. And it's disturbing. Never used to be so disturbing, but it is now.
Maybe many of them are too polite to want to tell you, but I'd say of all the contacts I have outside of the United States, they're far more enlightened. They don't listen all day to your Limbaughs and Kennedys and whatnot. And
well, you're right, Dave. They are enlightened people. Most of them speak two or three languages. Most of them keep up with the world news, not just the propaganda that comes from so much of our news organizations here in this country.
So they perceive a very real danger from the United States, and it's real. I mean, we do have weapons like crazy, and he's trying to expand the number of weapons we have and threatening to use them. And if you think that Rumsfeld would be fired, he's a good old boy who is everything that they're wanting. He's maximizing the profits over there. All kinds of millions and billions are going from the United States Treasury into the Halliburtons, into the Mobil Exxons and Bechtels. That's their plan. They are transferring the wealth of this nation into their pockets and the wealth of the world.
Well, they're doing a damn good job of it. We're going to, the next hour, we're going to talk about some numbers, and they're not good. They're not good.
I so value your efforts on it, though, Guy.
Well, Dave, thanks. I'm going to, next hour, I'm going to talk about a young man I talked to from Hungary. And first time I've got a Czech friend who lives in Prague, and I talk to him quite often, and he's got very strong opinions about our government. In the second hour, we're going to tell you about a young man we met from Hungary over the weekend, and he's got a story somewhat similar to what I just told you, but interesting nonetheless. Thank you for calling, Dave.
Thank you for being there, Guy.
Thank you. Good to hear from you. I'm upset today, and I don't like to be upset on Monday. I don't really have the weekend off. I work over the weekend, but you know, I spend a lot of time and effort getting ready for this program every day, and to do that, I have to be well read. I have to keep up on every little nuance of political life and world events, at least know something about each of them. And in a way, it's a curse. It's a curse in a way to have to read some of this stuff day after day after day. It'd be refreshing to just be able to walk away from it for a while. It would be refreshing to pick up a newspaper or turn on a news report just one day lately and not find out something so disgusting, so vile has taken place in this administration. It would be so refreshing. I don't know. I keep thinking, you know, I'm one of those ones that for a year and a half, 2 years now, I keep thinking, well, this can't get any worse. And it does. And I think, well, now, you know, when I remember the Downing Street memos came out, that, well, you know, this is it. Can't get any worse than this. And then we had the Valerie Plame mess. Well, it can't get any worse than this. You know what it just boils down to is the American public just doesn't give a damn. That's how it is. I know my listeners do. Why can't we get to the rest of the people? We don't have a big enough megaphone, that's why. We have a small voice out here in the wilderness, and they have the bullhorn. They have almost all of the media. They've got radio and TV in their back pockets. And that is a hell of a tough thing to have to overcome, believe me. Very, very, very tough. When we'll ever do it, I don't know. Well, it's coming up on the top of the hour. We hope the news folks are ready with the news today. We're going to go to that. And don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Iran and Qatar will each give the new Hamas government $50 million apiece. The U.S. and European Union have frozen all funding to the Palestinians. In Baghdad, insurgents attacked Iraqi forces today, killing five. Rebels and wounding one member of the Iraqi forces. U.S. troops aided in the battle, which lasted 7 hours. The attack raises questions about whether Iraq can avoid a civil war. Iraq has again postponed a parliamentary session to form a coalition government. Former Illinois Governor George Ryan has been found guilty of fraud, racketeering, tax evasion, and other charges. Before leaving office in 2003, Ryan put all scheduled executions in the state on hold and lifted the death sentences of all prisoners on death row. He faces up to 20 years on the racketeering charges alone. Newly appointed White House Chief Staff Josh Bolton said President Bush is set to announce a new budget direction. He also said other staff changes may be on the horizon. He also said anyone uncomfortable with the Bush administration should resign immediately. Bolton was budget director until Saturday when he took over the chief of staff position. The White House has also launched a campaign to combat criticism of Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. In the past week, half a dozen retired military generals have demanded his resignation. In Virginia, the Zacharias Moussaoui trial has resumed. The defense is trying to convince jurors that Moussaoui is mentally ill and his part in the September 11th attacks was so minor he should be spared the death penalty. In Washington, the Supreme Court is considering a sometime byproduct of official employee discrimination, retaliation by the boss. The justices will discuss what legal standards apply when changes are made in an employee's work environment after he or she files a complaint. It's now 2.5 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Quality News.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Today is the deadline for most Americans to file their taxes. The IRS is warning that computer identity thieves are sending fake emails asking for private information. Tyco International will pay $50 million to the Securities and Exchange Commission settle charges, including securities violations, from 1996 to 2002. The SEC's Enforcement Division will decide how to distribute the fine. Former Enron CEO Jeffrey Skilling will be cross-examined by prosecutors today in his fraud and conspiracy trial. Skilling has testified that he did nothing wrong, his company was falsely suspected of corruption, and his accusers are liars. A 6-year-old dairy cow in British Columbia has been found infected with mad cow disease. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency says the animal did not enter the human food chain. It's the fifth Canadian animal confirmed with a brain infection. Citigroup beat Wall Street expectations after reporting first quarter profits rose 4%. The nation's largest financial institution credited record investment banking. The price of oil settled today at a record high, $70.40 a barrel. Near the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was down 60 points. The NASDAQ was down 16 points. The S&P 500 was down 4 points. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
And welcome back for the second hour of the Guy James Show today. Are you from Kentucky? I know there are people from Kentucky listening. It can't help but be some people from Kentucky. Contact your Senator Mitch McConnell. And tell him he's a stupid bastard. That's what he's got to be for saying that Donald Rumsfeld is the greatest defense secretary in our country's history. I'm sorry, hate to get that worked up about it, but there's nothing else you can say, is there? Is there anything else you could say about someone that would say that? Couldn't be too smart to say that. You give us a call, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. I noticed the phone lights have been flashing a few times here and then going away. We've got our automatic answering system on since we run the, we do the engineering, we do the producing, we do the whole program right here from this one chair in the beautiful TIB studios, high atop the third floor here in our broadcast building. So if you call 866-546-5254, hang in there. The machine will answer and give you a lovely greeting, and we'll get to you as soon as we can. I saw a little bit of a speech. I was going to talk about something to start at this hour, but I want to get this off my chest. I saw a little bit of a speech that I had saved. Now don't laugh. Some of you are going to go, you must be crazy. Some time ago on C-SPAN, I knew Karl Rove was speaking, and I taped part of what he had to say because I was going to talk about it, and I was going to give a talk about what, and I did give a talk about it. But anyway, I had it saved, and I went back and took another look at it, and it's when Karl Rove was talking about the Democrats having the and you know this was their mantra for a while, having the pre-9/11 view of the world. Remember when you know he was saying that all the time, that the Democrats have a pre-9/11 view of the world. They still love to use that line. It's absurd, but they love to use it, and they'll continue using it as long as it works for them. And, you know, look who they're talking to. So Karl Rove, on this and this speech of his, he says we Democrats got a pre-9/11 view of the world. He says he says it like it's a bad thing. But there's something to recommend in a pre-9/11 mindset. He says that he thinks it's bad. I don't. Pre-9/11, and I jotted down some notes. Pre-9/11, we hadn't invaded a country that didn't have WMDs on the basis of intelligence and hyped up threats. That's pre-9/11. We had that view. Yes, pre-9/11 countries that represented real threats, Iran and North Korea, were afraid of our military might. They're not anymore. Pre-9/11, we were the legitimate champions of human rights and the role model to the world on how to treat those detained in the course of a war. We thought the Geneva Convention mattered pre-9/11, Carl. Pre-9/11, we had robust alliances with nations around the world who cooperated with us on international issues that threatened us all. Not anymore. But we felt that way pre-9/11. Pre-9/11, we had an executive branch that seemed to believe it was subject to the law and not above it. Not anymore. Pre-9/11, civil liberties mattered, and fear wasn't sufficient reason to undermine the foundational principles of our country. Pre-9/11, Americans trusted that the checks and balances built into our democratic system would protect them from an overreaching executive branch like we have now. Yes, we felt that way pre-9/11 and still do, Carl. Pre-9/11, we could criticize the government without being called treasonous or unpatriotic. Pre-9/11, we could meet peacefully to discuss how to fight the policies of the government without being spied upon and labeled a credible threat to the security of the United States before 9/11. Before 9/11, we believed that a national tragedy like the 9/11 attacks would unite us and not divide us. We believed we were a country with courage and a conviction and not a country full of fear like you've made us now. Pre-9/11, we believed that we were a nation of principles, principles that would guide us and unite us in the times of a threat. We believed in the power of the law to protect us and our way of life. No, Mr. Rove, it's not 9/11 that destroyed those beliefs. It's not 9/11 that replaced courage with fear. It's not 9/11 that made us a might makes right nation instead of a nation of laws. It's not 9/11 that made civil liberties expendable, like you're trying to do now. And already have done with the Patriot Act. It wasn't 9/11 that made disagreement with our own government treason or weakened our authority in the world, that exhausted our military and cost so many lives in a part of the world that had nothing to do with 9/11. That wasn't 9/11. That was Bush. That was the Republicans. And if signing on to the Bush agenda is what it takes to qualify as having a post-9/11 mindset, I'll stick to pre-9/11. I'll choose courage over fear, liberty over safety, law over force, and truth over expediency any old day. I choose to continue to believe in what makes this country different, and I'll fight for it. That's my pre-9/11 mindset. You hear him say that all the time. Say it like it's a bad thing. No, sir. In a lot of ways, I do have a pre-9/11 mindset and always will. This was a lot better country before 9/11. And it wasn't those three airplanes that made the difference. Not at all. Think about that. It's 4:13 right now on the old clock on the wall. You can give us a call toll-free, 866-546-5254. We'd like to hear from you today. We, from time to time, like to talk about numbers on this program. I'm a numbers kind of guy. And I was doing a little research on this the other day, looking at some new polls. Bush has been out giving all these speeches, you know. They've wind him up and pushed him out on the stage, and he gives a little speech and does a little, you know, like he, what's wrong with him when he talks? You know, Oh, well, anyway, don't get me started on that. Maybe that's not fair. It might just not be fair of me to make fun of the way he talks. Even if he does talk like a jackass, I shouldn't say that. Maybe. But he's been out giving all these speeches, and the polls are showing that he's not picking up any points at all from the public. He has, however, and this is the amazing part of this to me, and I want to go over this for a few minutes, he's gained ground with his fellow Republicans. Yeah. And tell me how this could be. In the April 7th through 9th poll, 79%. Now, listen carefully to this. 79% of Republicans said invading Iraq was the right thing to do, and that's up from 73% in September. Democrats, 17 now and 16 back in December, and independents, 35 now and 34 last September. But Democrats and independents haven't budged. But even more, Republicans polled now think that invading Iraq was the right thing to do. Oh, God help us. Think about those numbers. These are astonishing numbers. Much worse than I would have thought. 79% of Republicans think invading Iraq was the right thing to do. The numbers actually increased over the last few months. Am I dreaming? Now, I got my pencil and paper out, and if I'm figuring this correctly, that would be about 40 million Republican voters, considering the fact that Bush got around 50 million votes, or rounding that off in the last election. So about 79% of them are 40 million people. Look around. 40 million of your fellow Americans. Let's analyze these numbers. 40 million Republicans cannot possibly be that stupid. Half of them maybe. But not the whole 40 million can be that separated from reality. It just can't be. There's got to be some easily identifiable reason for this. Got to be. And I think I know what it is. Some of these people, we hope, are of at least average intelligence, so they must be getting bad information. Ah, yes, bad information. Isn't that the crux of the whole matter? Wasn't that the aim of the vast right-wing conspiracy in the first place? Propaganda, propaganda, propaganda. Hit them in the face with it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Limbaugh, Hannity, O'Reilly, Michael Reagan, Bill Bennett, Laura Ingraham, Ann Coulter, Britt Hume, Morton Kondracki, the entire Fox Network, Charles Krauthammer, Scott McClellan, and a boatload of other right-wingers have mounted a concentrated effort to push public opinion anywhere they want it to go. Because they found out that it works. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars, formed a lot of think tanks to propagandize the American people. Now all these talking heads get their talking points every single morning, and they go to work churning out one report after another, informing Americans that Iraq is a regular land of Oz with streets paved with gold. The Iraqi people are thrilled with what's happened so far, and they plan to build a huge statue of Junior Bush right in the middle of Bush Square in downtown Baghdad. The Iraqi police force and armies are so well trained that they're shouldering most of the security burden themselves nowadays. Yes, sir. The Iraqi government is in place, and everybody's ecstatic over the fact that they have this wonderful opportunity to elect their own government. Democracy is flourishing. Thousands of new and modern schools have been built, electric and water running at full capacity. And there's two chickens for every pot. Hell, the Iraqi people have never had it so good. They're free, 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 all freedom, glorious freedom. You can walk through the streets of Baghdad and Mosul and Fallujah and most every other Iraqi town and hear shouts of Free at last, free at last. Think Allah Almighty, we're free at last. The Sunnis, the Kurds, and the Shia, they've resolved their differences, and except for a few minor mosque bombings here and there, things are wonderful in Iraq. Sure. There have been 30 or 40,000 Iraqi women and children die in this little skirmish, but what the hell? That isn't that many when you consider the population of the whole world. And all of those generals who are talking bad about Donnie Rumsfeld, shame on them. After all, Rummy's clearly stated that he listened to every one of them before doing what he damn well pleased in Iraq. So he didn't have any experience as a tactician. So what? And for those whiny liberals griping about the 2,600 dead American soldiers, I would remind you that we still have over 50,000 to go before we equal the American military deaths in Vietnam. So just cool it. It isn't that bad. Did I sound like a Republican right-wing talking head? But seriously, how is it possible that 79% of Republicans could possibly think Bush's Iraq war is going well? Knowing what we know now, how could anybody think we should have gone in there in the first place? I guess the buzzword there is knowing what we know now. I guess those 79% don't really know what the rest of us know. All they know is what drug junkie Limbaugh has told them. He and his right-wing propaganda pals are the answer to the 79% not knowing any better. Yes, the Limbaughs and Hannitys and Laura Ingrams, they are the answer to this 79% of the Republicans not knowing any better. That's it in a nutshell. Now, those people could go out and find the truth about the whole Bush war mess, but let's be fair here. Would you want to admit that you had been taken in that bad? That bad? I know it'd be hard for me to fess up after being brainwashed that bad. Especially knowing that this is the, as everybody calls it, the information age. Which it is. I'm amazed every single day. I really am. 79% of Republican voters believe that going into Iraq was and still is a good idea. Jeez. God help me. Help me understand this. I just don't. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Are not just scenery. My people, they want to save every green tree so they can sell it for green money to help re-elect me. I trust the people.
Florida.
I trust the people.
Say, are you a conservative Republican who believes George Bush did the right thing by invading Iraq? Are you in agreement with Mr. Bush when he says we need to stay the course no matter how long it takes? Do you agree with the president when he says that he will never set any time schedule to pull out our troops? Well, if you agree with all of that, then you will certainly want to help out Mr. Bush by signing up your kids or grandkids for military service today. Yes, just call your local Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marine recruiter and tell them the age and Social Security number of your little Johnny or Susie and make an appointment for a free visit by your local military recruiter. We know that by supporting the president's war, you are a super patriot, and you'll want to be the first on your block to offer up your kids for Mr. Bush's war. Don't worry if you think they're too young. Even if they're only 10 or 11 years old, this war will certainly last long enough for them to get involved. And for the first 15 callers, we're offering absolutely free a CD of the president uttering those famous words, "Bring 'em on." Yes, this CD will have special meaning to you, especially if your kid is wounded or killed in Iraq. So call now and get your child or grandchild registered today. Just call 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID. That's 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID.
And so, in my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it, speech to the nation. I asked Americans to give 4,000 hours over the next, for the rest of your life, of service to America. That's what I asked. I said, 4,000 hours.
The man's a menace.
We think so, too. Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
Hey, so good to have you along with us this afternoon on this Monday. Oh, people don't like Mondays, do they? But it doesn't make any difference to me. It seems like I'm busy 7 days a week, so Monday's no different than the rest of the days of the week. I hope from time to time that I don't sound like I'm losing faith in America, or perhaps losing my American dream. We've all got our American dream, and I know those dreams vary drastically. And I think about it a lot. Has the conscience of America really changed? And does George Bush and his administration represent the wants and desires and aspirations of this great country? I look at this whole situation and I think, do we not care that our president lies and cheats and steals as long as he bullies the rest of the world and the weakest amongst us here at home? I hope not. I hope the conscience of America hasn't changed that much. Our dreams, you know, George W. Bush, he does not dream my dreams. Bush has chosen to ensure that America's material prosperity, indeed, the prosperity of the world, is something to be grabbed by a chosen few and not shared. Bush's tax cut plan is more than a windfall for the rich. I've seen it as some sort of a cynical strategy to force cuts in the most basic of social services. That's what they're trying to do, to starve out the social services. Is the conscience of America headed in that direction? I hope not. This Bush administration now believes it can do and say anything it wants without regard for the truth. Its devious nature was never more plainly evident than when the White House admitted that it kept under wraps, you remember this, kept under wraps a study prepared for former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, tried to squelch it, that projected future deficits of at least $44 trillion. The administration also admitted that it agreed with the conclusion of the study. That's when Ari Fleischer was the press secretary. And he went out after hearing that, and after that came to light, he actually went out and told the news media that Social Security and Medicare were going to present generations with a crushing debt burden unless policy workers reformed those programs. That's not the dream of America. I don't think it is. I talk to average Joe and Sally American every single day, and that's not their dream for this country. And it's not the dream for themselves. You know, I think back, and I choose to believe that America's dream is Martin Luther King's dream. 100 years after Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, King both shamed and challenged America with his I Have a Dream speech. Dr. King referred to Lincoln as a great beacon light and of hope to millions of Negro slaves who'd been seared in the flames of withering injustice. George W. Bush is no beacon of light of hope. That's not my America that he's dreaming of. I choose to believe that America's dream is Ted Kennedy's dream. When Ted Kennedy spoke to the Democratic Convention back in 1980, What a wonderful speech he made that time. I've always remembered. He asked Americans to renew our commitment to a fair and lasting prosperity and economic justice. And Kennedy ended that speech with these words that I shall never forget, because these are all parts of my dream for America. And I'll quote Ted Kennedy's speech in that 80 convention. For all those whose cares have been our concern, the work goes on. The cause endures. The hope still lives. And the dream shall never die. End quote. George W. Bush is not concerned with economic justice. Recently, Bush signed his latest tax cut into law, and then he officially increased the limit of the national debt to over $8 trillion. There's only going to be a few that'll benefit materially from his tax cuts, but virtually all of us and our children will pay the tab for it. Indeed, there aren't many people in this country that share Junior Bush's dream. I know I don't. And even people that don't share his dream will still back him. That's the part that confounds me. It really does. Don't think I'll ever understand that. I told you earlier in the program today that I talked to a young man from Hungary. And I have always seen, I've always been proud up until recently to talk to other folks from around the world, and been very proud of my country, and always probably a little bit of that ugly American in me, and, you know, that brags about who we are and what we do and what we have done and how we've helped the world and been a good citizen of the world, our nation. I've always been very, very proud of that. And I believe that. And I believe that for the rest of the world, today's America is a symbol of all the good and the bad of our civilization, ranging from our nation's unmatched development of science and technology to the strength of our democratic institutions, and the bad, to the blind, rampant consumerism and materialism, no matter how detrimental to the environment and our culture it may be. But who in Bush's corner today thinks about future generations? Who's concerned about what people will eat and drink and breathe in 100 years? Where they'll get their energy? When there's twice as many people living on this planet as today. You know, I stop and think about things like that, and when it comes right down to it, only an idealist, a dreamer, a forward thinker, in other words, a liberal, those are the only kind of people who think about things like that. And those dreamers, which include a lot of you and myself, we're often on the what I'd call the outskirts of society. And we'll find the place where we belong amongst the politicians. Those ideas will get to be the mainstream among politicians if we work hard. Because really, only if the very spirit of politics changes toward some deeper responsibility for the world will things really change. These people that talk about personal responsibility better start taking that seriously. Better start taking it very, very seriously. Right now, I don't think the U.S. of A. is behaving very responsibly toward the rest of the world, and it's our fault. We're not seeing to it that it happens. And I'm ashamed of that. 866-546-5254. If you have a comment about anything we've said here today, we'd love to hear from you. I talked to a young gentleman from Hungary yesterday. And in my office, I have a picture of on the wall. And a lot of you have seen the picture. It's that maybe I shouldn't have it on the wall, but I do. It's the picture of George Bush. I don't know where he was, in China maybe. Over in the Orient somewhere. And he had given a speech, and somebody asked him a question that he didn't really want to answer. And he said, well, that's it. And he started to walk off the stage. And he walked over to these big, massive double doors with big brass handles on them and went to open the doors, and they were locked, and he couldn't get out. Someone had to come from the back of the stage and go, over here, boys, you have to get out over here. And he stood there with that stupid smirk on his face. I got that picture of him standing there hanging on the door knob with that really idiot look on his face. And this young man from Hungary walked by, and he looked, and he saw that, and he looked at me, and he said, Bush? Yeah, that's Bush. Looked at me and said, do you like Bush? I said, no. And he looked at me and he said, America like Bush? Well, now, some Americans like Bush. And he says, he wags his finger at me and says, no, most Americans like Bush. He was elected president. Most Americans like him. I said, well, you can believe that if you want to, but I do not believe that most Americans, the plurality of Americans, like George Bush. If I really thought deep in my heart that most of America likes George Bush and backs his actions as the president, and believes the way he lives, if I really thought that were true, I could not live here anymore. I could not live in a country where the majority of the people believe, as does Mr. Bush in this administration. I could not. Could you? Could we salvage it, you and I, knowing that the majority of the people in this country feel like George Bush feels and would act like George Bush acts and approves of his actions? I really just cannot believe that that's true. I cannot. I will not accept it. First of all, you got to consider that half the voters stayed home. So there's 50% of the eligible voters in this country didn't give a damn one way or another. And I've got to believe that most of them by now are saying, well, Bush is a disaster. So you've got to figure that another, 65% or so right now don't care for his actions either. So I think we're safe in saying that most Americans do not approve of G.W. Bush right now. I think that's a fact. God, I hope so. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to be back in just a moment or two.
Is explain. why we need to invade Iraq. He says we gotta hit them, we gotta get them before they can get us back. I'm not even gonna bother to argue over that, 'cause it's clearly just a bunch of BS to distract us from the facts. It's about oil, it's about greed, it's about rich white men getting richer. It's about fear and control of those barrels of black gold. Yeah, step up close to another war when we never really say what we're fighting for. It's easy to pretend we're defending our native soil. Put it in the headlines, I want to see it in big lights. Hello, it's about oil. George W., how I love you in your tough Texas cowboy way. Congressional approval is for weenies. You go to war whenever you please. And if the citizens raise some questions, just use the T word and log on low. And then it's back to business as usual, priming the pump. It's about oil, it's about greed, it's about this rich country getting...
Ah, yes, it's about oil, it's about greed. I guess that's pretty much it, right on the head, don't you think? Of course. 866-546-5254, you can give us a call. I think we had a couple of phone lines out of order. I think we got them straightened back out now. Let's go to the phones right now. And who's with us?
This is Greg from Connecticut.
Hi, Greg, how are you? How are things in Connecticut today?
Oh, it's a beautiful day today, which of course means I have a lot of work. You know, if it's rotten weather, then I have no work. You know, that's always the way it works out. But, you know.
Oh, what is it, in the 70s today?
I don't know if it's 70s, but it's probably a good 65 and the sun's shining. So it's getting up there, and you can see all the blossoms coming out. So I guess spring is finally here.
All right.
So it could be 85 in about a week.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was listening to what you were saying about your experiences with the Hungarian gentleman and stuff like that. And, you know, I think that we as Americans have to be really aware of what could happen in the future. You know, I have a dear friend of mine who's German, and I've known her for 15 years, watched her daughters grow up. They think of me as like an uncle, you know, and she tells me stories that, you know, she, a woman of, you know, 40, can still go abroad and people will point to her and say, Nazi, 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 you know, even though, you know, her father was a small child then, her parents were never involved. But two generations later, you know, she can still be pointed at and called Nazi, and, you know, in whenever she goes in the world, just, and, you know, like the model Heidi Klum, for instance, she doesn't want to speak German outside of Germany because people call her a Nazi. So, you know, that is the path that we're heading down ourselves. And if we, you know, throw a nuclear bomb on Tehran or something like that, we are going to be a pariah to the world for generations.
Absolutely, I'm in fear of that. We better remember who we're dealing with in the White House right now. I don't think they have any reservations about doing that. I really don't.
And you know, I think a lot of Americans just don't realize that because, you know, for one thing, only 18% of Americans have a passport, you know. So you asked the question before, why is it that, you know, so many people can buy this BS? It's just that they're not exposed to the outside world. I mean, if you pick up a paper, you know, even from London or France or whatever, you get a completely different perspective on things. And, you know, you have so many people here, they just want to hear the single propaganda, and that's it. And that's what's causing this problem. You know, if you look at what happened to Russia, too, I mean, you said, well, how can 73% be so stupid to buy this line? Well, look how long it took. It took a generation or two for Russians to understand, you know, Lenin was not really that great of a thing. But when you have all the media telling you otherwise, when you have no way to look outward, then that's what happens.
Sure. And you start and then you start indoctrinating the children. You move that thought process into the schools, into the pulpits, and gradually you get it done.
And we run the risk, too, that at some point we might not have a Guy James show or an Air America radio or Daily Democratic Underground. I mean, you know, you reach a point in a state when those things are shut down, and then you really have no outlet, nowhere else to go. So I think we as Americans better wake up and better start looking outward to the world or, you know, we're not going to be able to turn back because we're never going to have a reliable flow of information again.
You know, Greg, that's a great point. That is a great point. I knew somebody years ago. You're talking about your German friend. I knew somebody years ago whose father actually was in the SS, and the Lutheran Church brought him over here. He was like a bookkeeper, but he was in the SS, and the Lutheran Church, several of the churches in America, saved some of those people after the war because they were going to be killed. But I knew his father, and you know, he seemed like a good man and all that, but it was a secret around because they didn't want anybody to know ever that you know, he was involved in. Even they really didn't want to know they were from Germany. They told everybody they're from Austria.
Yeah.
So yeah, I God help us if we get put in a position like that.
Well, I hear stories like that all the time. I heard a story of this man. He was in Finland, and he was gay with his partner. And people went up at him in this bar and started screaming at him, not because he was gay, but because they found out he was American.
Oh.
And they said, you know, get out of here. What are you doing here? And, you know, I'm starting to experience that when I go abroad, too. And, you know, and I tell people, you know, if anybody on earth, you know, is against this Bush regime, it's going to be me. You know, but, you know, when we went through it and reelected this bastard a second time, then we really lost our credibility. And that affects all of us, whether we're Democrat or Republican. We all bear the responsibility for it.
Well, I think we have to advise everybody traveling abroad then to get a T-shirt with a W with the mark through it, you know. say it loud and long when you go over there. Yeah, it wouldn't be a good thing to let everybody know you were pro-Bush.
Exactly. Okay, thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a lot to what he says. Absolutely. And just think how long, once you get that stain on you, think how long it takes to get it off. Man, I don't want to think people think of the United States of America that way. Do you? Now, I know people from the right say, who gives a damn what the rest of the world thinks? By God, we're the toughest hombres on the face of the earth. We'll kick their ass. You all know people like that. We'll show them. Y'all remember before we went into Iraq, you know, you heard the comments. Let's glass them. Let's nuke them. Let's turn that place into, you know, let's melt that desert and turn it into glass. We'll show them. Lots of people in this country that would have been happy to do that. Why? Because they bought the propaganda coming out of the Bush White House. That's why. Are people just that naturally mean? Oh, I hope not. When did all this meanness start in the Republican Party? You know what I'm talking about. Think about how they almost hate anybody who can't take care of themselves. How they absolutely revile those who've had a bad break. The way they treat people who've lost their jobs and can't find another one. The way they treat anyone who they see as inferior. I've got a theory about it. I think it all started back in the late 70s when their campaign advisors discovered that if you appealed to people's meaner instincts and called them taxpayers instead of citizens, this is how devious they are. Start calling them taxpayers instead of citizens. You could convince most of them that it was absolutely right and proper to keep their hard-earned money from supporting any kind of support system for those who fall through the cracks. And you still hear that today. Not my money, taking my tax money, giving those SOBs. You know, the strategy was, really, it was more than a little bit effective, because even today, that still is the hue and cry from the average Republican, who will tell you that they never got a handout because they're responsible and hardworking. They were righteous and moral and would never need child welfare or abortions for women who couldn't afford to have a child. By God, they're not going to give up a penny of their hard-earned dollars to support those people. No, sir. See, they linked morality to tax money. And just look at some of the things they've demanded over the years when you think about it. Good old Tom DeLay, for example, being the tower of virtue that he is. He insisted that stem cell research was immoral, and therefore it was morally indefensible to use our tax dollars to support such research. Hogwash. And then the TV sets and the radio of the evangelicals were wall to wall with good Christian ministers like Falwell and Robertson's and others just railing against using public money for stem cell research, which, in their words, destroys life. Well, they're wrong. They're dead wrong. Polls vary, but approval for stem cell research has actually increased over the last 5 years. And approval for it goes up the more poll respondents know about the issue. Education's the answer. They'd rather keep that education from you. Last summer, I got it around here somewhere, there was a Harris poll that showed 73% of Americans supported stem cell research. Here it is. And a Pew Center poll in May showed 65% support amongst those who had heard a lot about the issue. Even 45% of Republicans support the research. But despite all those impressive figures, you got the evangelicals. They got their way. And Bush, while continuing to suck up to them, got it banned from using public money. So I think we should join them in their campaign to ban public money from immoral things. Okay, follow me on this. We could even get the majority to go along with this instead of the minority they used to get their way. So from now on, if we're going to tie morality to public money, we've got to insist that no public money be used for anything the majority finds immoral. Fine, let's start tomorrow with that. The latest CNN poll found that 61% of Americans think it was a bad thing to go in Iraq. Therefore, following their logic, it's immoral to have spent $250 billion and get over 2,350 of our soldiers killed. That's immoral. And I think the majority of us think it's also immoral to have killed about 100,000 Iraqis and get thousands more of our young men and women maimed for life because of having their limbs blown off and other horrible injuries caused by the immorality of this war. You know, James Dobson, oh, I love him so, at Focus on the Family group of his, campaigned against stem cell research by stating that federal dollars shouldn't be used to destroy young humans. Okay with me, Dobson, old boy. Let's not use public money to destroy you young humans anymore. Let's stop the public funds for this war right now. If it's immoral to destroy young humans with public money, let's stop the killing right now. Using your own logic. It's also immoral to spend our tax dollars destroying essential services like water and electricity and jobs and health care and the basic safety to thousands of Iraqis. It's immoral to do that. And another thing. Polls show us that at least twice as many of us are against the death penalty as those who oppose stem cell research. And talk about squandering our tax dollars immorally? One estimate put the cost of New York's death penalty at $160 million. A Tennessee study estimated the death penalty trial costs 48% more than trials seeking life imprisonment. In other words, the death penalty is a wasteful government program. Or how about the morality? I've given tax cuts to millionaires while 11 million kids have no health insurance. You know, the Democrats have been terrified to take on the Bush tax cuts. Polls show that 54% of Americans feel the federal tax cuts have not been worth it because they've increased the deficit and caused cuts in federal programs. Your and my taxes go to paying a whopping $317 billion in interest on the national debt. Listen up, Democrats. These tax cuts are morally indefensible. Say so. And do these culture of life people feel it's moral to spoil the land and then make taxpayers clean it up? Do you want to hook morality to public money? Team Bush is allowing mining companies to dump toxic waste on public lands without any liability? More toxic waste is being produced by hard rock mining than any other industry in America. Who pays for the cleanup? You and I. Our tax dollars at work. More immorality. And finally, while Donald I Know No Shame Rumsfeld called the Amnesty International report condemning conditions at Guantanamo reprehensible, what is truly reprehensible is that our tax dollars support the ongoing incarceration, humiliation, and torture of detainees there that should not be there. Even the usually spineless Joe Biden has called for Gitmo to be shut down, but not on moral grounds. Millions of us are sickened and mortified that these practices are conducted in our name. So to go back to my original theme here, the religious right wants to talk moral values and taxes. Let's bring it on. Every time Team Bush and their flock want to fund more wars, torture, economic inequality, and environmental ruin, all of which terminate life, they should hear one phrase right back at them right away: morally indefensible. Can we get our elected Democrats to talk that way? Hell no. Tomorrow, I'd like to hear from you. Who do you think is going to end up being the nominee for president on the Democratic side? I'd like to know. And I'd also like you to be thinking about those of you on Democratic Underground. There's a big thread started on there about one of the Democratic, so-called Democratic talk show hosts, and whether or not he's a real Democrat or not. And if you've been to Democratic Underground today, you know who I'm talking about. So I'd be interested to hear what you have to say about that. I know a little bit about that myself. And so it started a little bit of a war on there. But I'd like to know. I'd like to know how you feel about that. I'd like to know how you feel about the Democratic talk shows, all of them, that we have around the country. What we need, what you like, what you don't like. If you like this show, if you hate it, I'd like to know. Information is good. Don't ever like to keep information away from people. The more information you get, the more informed decisions you can make, and the better that is for everyone. And if there's something in particular that you don't like about this program, something you do like about this program, let us know. Shoot us an email, guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com. Always interested in hearing from you. And again, I want to apologize for not being able to answer all the email. I do try. A bunch of you ask to get the soldier's letter that we read last week, the local soldier's letter. And I finally got that sent out to some folks today. Seems like I'm always behind in my correspondence. But we do our best. So that's your homework assignment for tomorrow. Find out about all the Democratic talk shows and what you like and what you don't like. And I love to, being in this business, I like to hear what you all have to say. It's important. Helps us decide here what kind of a show we should run, what kind of subjects you'd like to talk about. And I do want to remind everybody that we are going to get to the black box voting show soon. We're going to devote an entire show to it. So those of you that have been clamoring for that, you better be ready. I want to hear from you that day that we do that. By the way, whatever happened to Bev Harris? Does anybody know? I don't know. Only a very few of you will know who I'm talking about. But if you happen to know what happened to Bev Harris, let me know. There was a lot of controversy going on back when Bev Harris was conducting black box voting investigations. Well, that's about all we have on the Guy James Show today. I do want to remind you that we're a listener-supported program. We need your support. We hope you'll support the program, help keep us going. We want to be a viable show for you that you can air your gripes and get out your thoughts and wants and needs. And we hope you'll go to our website and support the program. And our snail mail address is there for those of you that would like to send something along. by regular mail. So thanks for listening. It's once again been great to have you all along. As we always say, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, everybody.